Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
So let's go to the word. The title of my message is Get Your Story Straight. Get Your Story Straight. Somebody say to your neighbor, get your story straight. Yes, it's very, very important, and it is very key that we get our story straight. We must know our story. Mark chapter number 14, verse number 57 to verse number 59. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Mark 15, verse number 57 to verse number 59. The Bible says, finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands. And in 3 days, I will build another made without human hands. But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Somebody say, get your story straight. There was some level of truth in their testimony. However, their story was not straight. There was some form of certain things that were correct within their statement. However, it was not fully the truth. So they did not get their story straight. Now, Bazalwane, we have already established that there is power in storytelling. There is even more power in telling your own personal story. It is very, very important and key that you are eloquent. You may not be eloquent in any other thing, but you must be eloquent in telling your own personal story. What is it that Jesus has done for you? What is it that Jesus has been able? We are not saying that you should be a preacher and be able to quote all the verses. But let me tell you something. If you can be able to articulate your own story, your own journey with Jesus, many will come to the knowledge of who he is. Many will come to know about Jesus. And many will be saved just like you by reason of you telling your own story. There is power in telling somebody else's story. But once you tell your own story, something happens because it comes with great impartation. Because for every story, there is a grace. And if there is a story that I have, be it a story of maybe a sad thing or a story of a happy event, oxalayo, there is a grace that comes with it because somebody is going to learn from my story. And once they learn from my story, they are also going to have the impartation of the grace that comes with my story. Because if I tell you about how Jesus saved my life, and you hear me talk about how he saved my life, and you can then see that it is possible that your own life may also be saved, that your own life can be saved, and there is grace that comes with it. That is why in most cases, people who tell other people's stories, I'm not talking about the Bible stories, but when it comes to the stories of life, it does not come with impartation. Each time we go, maybe we are invited and we go and we speak to couples, I always say that beyond what we are saying, there is grace that has been proven for almost 20 years that this thing works. So even if you don't hear what I say, tap into the grace of what I have done. Somebody say amen. Tap into the grace of my story. That is why it is very, very key that we become eloquent in telling our own stories, because there is power in telling your own personal experience, your own personal lessons that you have learned, and so that others may also learn from your life and from the lessons that you have made. I always say that people who do not want counsel, who do not want to be told certain stories, who want to just do things their own way, but they don't seek counsel, they don't seek to hear the stories of those who have walked the journey before, they are robbing themselves of getting cheap victories. Somebody say cheap victory. cheap victory is a victory whereby you now know that there is a problem ahead. Be cautious. It does not mean that the problem is going to go away, but it is best that you already know about the problem and you are going to strategize and know how are you going to go through this problem? How are you going to go through this hurdle? Because you now have learned from someone who has traveled the road before. So lessons and storytelling are very, very key. And this morning, before I even get ahead of myself, I have to tell my story. I can't say there is power in telling, in telling your own personal story and not tell my own story. Maybe someone will be helped by my story. The encounter that I had with Jesus was an encounter that happened in the year 1999. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I will never forget that day. I was visiting my cousin-law, Yaya. I was visiting my cousin in Joburg and with her then husband, they took me to church. If there's anything good that came out of their marriage, it's my salvation. Ah, Bazalan. Okay, their children, and then my salvation. We went to church, Rhema Bible Church. We got there. It was a conference, a Rhema conference. They used to have it every year. I think they still do. And we went there because my then sbari loved the Lord, even though my cousin did not love the Lord. Because being unequally yoked. So we went to church that night. We sat there and the preacher preached. T.D. Jakes was there as well. Maybe that's the reason why I shout when I preach. Impartation does not ask for permission. I was there preaching. I got saved. I called an altar call and I don't remember the sermon. I don't remember the actual preacher because it was two, a white preacher and T.D. Jakes. I didn't even know T.D. Jakes back then. I just heard afterwards that it was T.D. Jakes. I was like, oh, okay. So I got saved. When I got saved, I went to the front. All that I knew was there was a void. Loved two parents, loving home, married for many, many years, siblings and all. Loved, but there was a void. There was a void and there was failure. In such a way that I even thought maybe I will amount to nothing. Yeah. Got saved that day, crying, sobbing. That's why I always say you don't have to remember the date. Praise God if you do. Don't have to remember the sermon, praise God if you do. But if you don't remember the circumstances around your salvation, chances are you are not saved. And as I preach tonight, as I share my story, it will help you to go to the cross and be saved. Remember, I just told you about the circumstances around. I don't remember the date, but it was March. Don't remember the date, but there were circumstances around it that I remember vividly because there is no way that you can forget. Yeah. So if you don't remember even the circumstances around your salvation, chances are you are not saved. I got saved that day, came back home. When I came back home, I came back to my friends who knew the old me. Came back to my family who knew the old me. And yet at Rhema Bible Church, they told me, you are now a new creature. But nothing has changed. I'm still Mazote. I'm still going home. My parents are still the same parents. My siblings are still the same siblings. My friends are still there waiting for me. But they said, I'm a new creature. Amen. Held on to that word. Even when they were mocking me, Wamash, okay. This is more.
saying, 3 months.
My friends, because kebazalwane, I was the life of the party. Just as much as I'm the life of the worship. Nothing is ever wasted. Nothing is ever wasted. We are coming, don't worry. Tonight, my friend is here. Gave my life to the Lord. Came back home, as I said, walking the same streets, same friends, talking to them, telling me that we are giving you 3 months. And you know, like, 3 months, nami, inkosimpela, ngizoke ngizwe ezulwini. What's about 3 months? Because everyone, you know, like when I was getting married, people gave me 3 months. Everyone mocks me about 3 months. So they said, 3 months, I know he will come back with us. He will go, she will go with us. She will come back to the streets. Oh, we know her. Yeah.
The streets were calling.
They said 3 months. But 3 months became 3 years. Yeah. 3 years became 5 years. Yeah. 5 years became 15 years. Yeah. 15 years became 25 years. It's 2024. I'm still standing. 25 years on. I don't know where they are. The 3 months people.
Yeah.
So let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
If you feel like you cannot handle your life, give it to Jesus. Yeah. Forget about anyone else whom you are going to meet after the service.
Yeah.
Tell them I am a new creature. It may not look like it. It may not sound like it. I still look the same. I still walk the same. I still live in the same house. However, I have a transition from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Bible says that we have now been those who are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says in him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. So in other words, even though I walk here, but as you see me here, I'm not here. Because in him I live, I move, and have my being. That's salvation. That's my story. Yeah. That's my story. Got saved. With all the shenanigans of the Zulu tribe of when Ashaba, when Komo, when everything, Majozi, everything, ancestors this, ancestors that, and praise be to God, because if you stand for what you believe in, God will raise somebody who is going to be able to stand up for you, even with them not understanding what they are saying or what they are doing. God raised my own father who told my brothers off to say, she told you she's saved. Not understanding, not even understanding what it meant. Each time they wanted me to partake, because if you continue doing what they are doing, there is no way that you will be distinguished. Today it's clear, they don't even tell me. They know whenever they say, maybe they are telling me that there is something going on. My big brother, who was the biggest problem, actually says to me, ICC, I know, but just to tell you so that when people come, you know, at least you know that there are people at home. I know that you don't subscribe to such things. Get yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you stick it out, you will see results. So in the midst of it all, I had to navigate through the majosis, through the blood of goats. Blood of... Of cows. Chickens. Manje, the problem is when we talk about such things, you say, I know. And let me tell you something. There are those who are going to get the results of doing this thing right.
Yeah.
And there are those who are just going to be mediocre. All saved, going to heaven. But there are those who are going to get the best out of it. Those who are going to do it the way it should be done. Stick it out. That's my story. I did. It was not easy. It was hard. Everyone against me until God raised my father, who did not even understand what salvation was. That's why my prayer on his deathbed in the hospital was, Lord, for me, just for me. He stood for me when everyone wanted me to partake on things that are going to short circuit my calling and short circuit that which you have done in my life. Stood with me, my dad. God raised him up. And he said, leave her alone. When I was getting married, everyone was saying, no, this is how you are supposed to do things. This is what you are supposed to do. This is what you are supposed to do. This is what you are supposed to do. My dad stood and said, Lengani Angela, 6 years ago. Kuthi sindisiwe. Manje mayisishada wayenifuna ukuyenzisa izinto ezingahlangene nenkolo yayo. A man who does not even go to church on Sunday. If you stick it out, God will raise somebody. He's going to speak for you in the palace. That's my story. Maybe you are saying I'm compromising because I can't stand up against my family. Let me tell you, I did. And if you do it long enough, they are going to even understand at some point. My brother was here last week, sitting at the back over there. A good 15, 16 or 20 minutes listening to the sermon I was preaching. And said it back to me afterwards. Yes. 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 Stick it out. That's how you see results. Don't be a wiggling Christian. That today, because everyone is saying, ay, lento yakho, tina, we don't subscribe to it and we are going to disown you. In fact, tina, as Christians, you know, I'm sure Mr. David can tell us. Given a chance, Mr. David can tell us. In other religions, I know he's Christian. However, I know he knows in the community. You get disowned for real. And yet we can't stand for our salvation. Because we want to fit in. So what if you don't fit in? I did not fit in for many years until I stood out. Ah, you did not get me. I became exceptional. My peers looked for me. I was nowhere to be found. They were no longer my peers. We were just peers by age. But rank-wise, we are not peers. Every aspect, actually. We are not peers. You cannot say the same sentence. You can't put us in the same sentence. In whatever aspect. Nalabo 3 months, laba. Stick it out. That's my story. It was not easy. Got saved in Joburg. Sbaruam gave me cassettes of Creflo Dollar, of all of these great people that I did not know, that I knew nothing about. And yet he was programming something in the inside of me. I would listen to those tapes every day. My sister is seated at the back over there. I'm not lying. I kid you not. Every single day, bought myself a radio. Cassette. So whenever they are busy with their things, I'm listening. Stick it out. Even if you get saved today, tell yourself, no matter what, ngimzwile lo yamama ukuthi na it was not easy. I'm going to push through. There's a reward. There's a reward. It may not come in 1 month, in 2 months, in 3 years, in 4 years, it may not come. But at some point, the reward will come. He is also called the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the rewarder comes at some point. Stick it out. Stick it out. With all due respect, stick it out. Tell them I love you. Tell them I respect you. But could you please also respect the decision that I have made? Please respect what I have given my life to. You may not understand, but please respect it. If you respect it, they will respect it. Stick it out. Salvation. Got saved. Since then, I'm still standing. And if you are able to stand the adversities in the beginning of your journey with Jesus, you will be able to stand the adversities of your faith. The adversaries of your faith. All the discouragement that comes on the way, you will be able because you trained yourself to stick it out for your salvation. Amen. Even the enemy will know. He will try because he always tries. But he will know. This one knows their story. Somebody say, my story.
My story.
That's my story. Ungibona nje angizange ngibe umamfundisi nje ngavele ngkwathi umfundisi nantombe enhle wathi uyayithatha wayibaka wayibeka epulpit. I'm saved.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm saved.
Yes.
I'm a child of God, 25 years standing.
Yeah.
Saved.
Yeah.
Phela uyenzeka. And we wonder why umuntu mangabe emlana, all that we hear is just politics and their own things and their own heads and their own no word, nothing. They don't even know that Jesus. They have never encountered Jesus. They encountered the pastor. I'm not that one. I'm saved. I'm saved. Even if mfundisi tomorrow morning can just take the mandate away from me and say, sit down, I will sit down and worship like never before. Yes. It's not about the mic. It's not about the pulpit. It's not about preaching. It's about the Jesus who died for me and saved my soul that was drowning while I am walking. Everybody thinking that ngobekhaya kuno oros, everything is fine. And yet I was dying inside. I pala babes at my ngobekhaya kuno oros, so 5 liters every day. No cheese. Yet the soul is dying. Ready to accept that I'm a failure. I will amount to nothing. Ready. Almost. But salvation came. Just like salvation is coming for someone tonight. Jesus came and he snatched me away from the pits of discouragement and failure and defeat. Placed my feet on the solid rock. Standing today because I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm not just a person who loves preaching. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. That's my story. Let's continue. Aha. Now, when we tell our stories, we help others. It's important that we go and tell others. There's a man who was demon-possessed. Jesus healed him. And after Jesus healed him, he wanted to sit with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back to your friends.
Yeah.
Hey, you are sending me to the ones that don't believe that I'm saved.
Yeah.
He said, go back to your friends and tell them.
Yeah.
The book of Mark, chapter number 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Now, if we'll be willing to write or to tell our stories, the Lord will allow great things to happen to us. I always ask that, Lord, why did you bless us publicly? Because we are people who are actually very much private. We don't like to be out there. We don't like for everyone to know what is happening in our lives. I'm sure you must have figured that one out already. But then God, when he changed our story, when he blessed us, it was public. It was news abroad. Everybody knew about it. But it is because God wants to bless those who are going to tell what he has done. God wants to change the lives of those who are not going to keep quiet about what he has done. Jesus wants to be glorified through our stories. So tonight the question is, what is your story and who are you telling? Because sometimes we tell our story with a bad motive. Because let me tell you something, whether it's a story that is good or it's a story that is bad, at the end of the day, we must surrender it to be used by God so that it can be a lesson for somebody else, so that it can be a lesson for someone who is going to take it and run with it, who is going to allow themselves to learn from it and be able to have cheap victories, as I said. So unpleasant experiences will form part of those great things that will happen to us. Because sometimes when it is an unpleasant experience, we just want to not even maybe remember it. But it is important that even though maybe during our trying times, we develop coping mechanisms and we tell ourselves that I'm going to forget about this. But sometimes when you forget about it, you are actually depriving someone to learn from your experience. So it is important that we understand that great stories happen to those who can tell them. Maybe you should start telling your own story. Yeah. Because sometimes you can look down on your own story. And it is that story that is going to attract many other great stories. Yeah. That small story that you take for granted. That salvation story that you take for granted. That salvation story that you think, no, I don't have to tell anyone about. Let me tell you something. It can bring about great impact in your life if you allow God to use your story. And greater stories will keep coming because you are willing to tell your story. So stories of faith must be told. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. So if there is a story of faith that you have got to tell that story. That is why even in the Bible, they tell of the track record that Jesus had. They tell of the track record where he helped many. It will help us to be able to know his capabilities. When we tell our stories of faith, others will know, what is it that he is capable of? That is why in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, there is the story of faith. Many who had faith, many who exercised their faith, many who kept the faith, and they obtained results. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 32, the Bible says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith. So there are so many stories in such a way that the writer of the book of Hebrews could not tell all of them because it would not be able to even fit in the book, because there are many who got results through faith. And if we are going to tell their stories, it wouldn't even be enough to fit in the book. So the writer said, it would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. By faith. What about what you are believing God for? If people by faith overthrew kingdoms, what is it that you are trusting God for? It's nothing to him. If you go back to the track record that he has, if you go back to the capabilities that he has, it's nothing what you are trusting him for. He says, they overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. So the way to receive what God has promised is through keeping the faith. It is through the stories of faith. Some of us have even got our own stories of faith, but when we are faced with problems, we don't even go back to our own stories, let alone the stories in the Bible, let alone the stories of those who are seated next to us. Even our very own stories, we don't go back to them to say, Lord, you have done this thing before. Lord, you have done something for me before. It says, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. I don't know what is it that is threatening you. It is coming, charging towards you like a lion, threatening you in your marriage, threatening you in your business, threatening you in your career. But let me tell you something. There is a Jesus who has a track record that others who had faith in him, there is a God that others who had faith in him were able to shut the mouths of lions. Hallelujah. So it's important that we also believe. Now, our stories of faith must be so compelling that many will want to know who he is and what he has done. That many will want to know what is your secret. They must be so compelling. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Luke 9:7-9. It says, when Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing, he was puzzled. Some were saying that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. I beheaded John, Herod said. So who is this man about whom I hear such stories? And he kept trying to see him. Kept trying. It was so compelling that he kept trying to see him. Your story can be so compelling that many will keep trying to see this Jesus that you profess. Your story can be so compelling that many would want to follow this Jesus that you profess. So it is important that you tell your story. So our stories will open even doors for us. Our stories will speak on our behalf. There are many others who have had to tell their stories, and things have begun to happen because their stories were so interesting in such a way that those who were being told about their stories wanted to know them, wanted to even get to understand how did they do what they have done. Hallelujah. So now, we have to get our story straight. Amen. We have to give true testimonies of the power of God. Because sometimes we give a testimony, but it is a false testimony. But the testimony that carries power is a true testimony. And inside, the leading priests and the entire council, they were trying to find evidence against Jesus. On the day that we are celebrating, they were trying to find evidence against Jesus. They called out where we read the people to come and witness. They did even give account according to what they know. But unfortunately, there was some level of truth in their account. There was some level of truth in their testimony. But their story was not straight. That is why it is important for us to get our stories straight. So the reason why these people, the counselors did not believe these people and their testimony, it was because their story was not straight. Somebody say, get your story straight. Yes. So these witnesses are people who did not get their story straight. So it is important that as witnesses, we must get our story straight, because false witnesses will prevail if the true witnesses are quiet. It's not about the truth or the lie, but it is about who speaks up about their testimony. So if those who have a false testimony will speak out and tell their side of the story, if they are going to speak out and tell their stories, even though it is twisted, but it is going to be believed because they spoke up and they told their story. I want us this morning to be those who are witnesses to the truth that Jesus died at the cross of Calvary, to the truth that Jesus is able to save, to the truth that Jesus is able to redeem. And because we are those who are witnesses, and we are witnesses of the truth, we must not keep quiet, but we must be those who speak up. Otherwise, the false witnesses are going to prevail if those who have a true testimony are not getting their story straight. And now, what has his story done for you? That's what you need to tell others. What is it that the story of Jesus has done for you? And every witness must not only talk, but they must have evidence. Every witness, if you are a witness of the fact that Jesus saves, you must carry evidence. If you are a witness that Jesus redeems, you must carry evidence. That every witness must have evidence. In the court of law, every witness that comes, those who hear their story, even if their story seems to be straight, unless they produce evidence, it will not be taken seriously. It will not be admitted in court, because the evidence is not enough. But let me tell you something. As the children of God, we are the witnesses of the story of Jesus. There is no one else who can tell this story more than us. There is no one else who can tell it as straight as we can tell it. There is no one else who can tell it with power as much as we can be able to tell it with power. There is no one else who can tell it with so much grace without us as the ones who have experienced it firsthand. We must carry the evidence of the faith that we profess. That is why if there are no results of your faith, you must contend for the results of your faith. If you don't have an evidence, if you are not carrying an evidence to come before the court where the devil is asking you questions, because even the gates in the Old Testament did not let them just come in. They asked them, who is this King of Glory? They said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, so that the King of Glory may come in. The gates stood and said, who is this King of Glory? Because life is going to ask you questions. Even though you do have a testimony, even though you do have a story to tell, even though you do have something that Jesus has done for you, the life that you live is going to, from time to time, ask you questions, and you must get your story straight so that you can be able to answer all the questions that life will throw at you. Some of us, even tonight, under the sound of my voice, life is busy throwing questions at you, and you need to have evidence, because there is a court that the enemy has brought us into. Even in this life, the enemy is accusing us. That is one of his names. One of his names, the accuser. So when he accuses you, you must have evidence. There is no one opumat oli without the evidence. If you say this Jesus saves, where is the evidence? If you say this Jesus redeems, where is the evidence? If you say this Jesus blesses, where is the evidence? That is why we are here tonight. Tonight we are here to get our story straight. We are here to take our evidence, so that when life asks us questions, our evidence is at hand. When we tell our stories, when we tell our side of the story, when we tell our testimonies, the enemy is going to ask us, where is the evidence? What is the evidence of what you are saying? Whereas If you don't have the evidence, the enemy can easily defeat you. Tonight we are here to obtain the evidence. We are here to obtain the evidence. If Jesus can bless, then I must carry it. So that when I tell my story is straight. I have evidence. In this world, the only story that is believed is the story that has evidence.
Amen.
I must carry the evidence. Let us stand. We are praying. I'm getting my story straight. And a straight story that can stand in the court of law is a story that has evidence. Now faith is the evidence. So tonight we are going to pray. And I want you by faith to carry the evidence home. Ah, by faith carry the evidence to your marriage, your dying marriage. By faith carry the evidence to your dying business. By faith carry the evidence back home to speak to the enemy that speaks to you in your mind every night when you are trying to get peace, when you are trying to sleep, and the enemy begins to accuse you in your head. Carry the evidence of peace, the chastisement of his peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the evidence. We have to have results. Results are evidence. Because there's something I wrote down here. Let me read it to you as we pray. There are witnesses that tell lies, but there are witnesses that tell the truth. I said, your evidence will make you a reliable witness. And a credible witness. And I said, lies don't stand, only truth stands. And I said, a lie is not just false information. A lie is what God did not say. So many of us are carrying lies around. A lie is not just what is in front of you, evidently. And tangibly so. But a lie is everything that God did not say. So even if you see it, it's still a lie if it's not what God said.
Amen.
Even if it is staring at you when you go back home as we are going to pray, you carry your evidence. As long as it's not what Jesus said, as long as it's not what God said, it's a lie.
Amen.
Anything, no matter how the enemy can prove it, no matter how much proof he can give to you to convince you of the fact that this situation is like this.
Yeah.
Look at it and acknowledge the fact that it is there, but it is not what God said.
Amen.
And mark it as a lie. Anything that God did not say is a lie.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how convincing it is.
Yeah.
As long as God did not say it, it's a lie. So many of us are carrying lies around. We are even comfortable. Sickness in our body. A lie. Poverty. A lie. Unemployment. A lie. Lack. A lie. A lie. Not enough. A lie. Failure, a lie. Discouragement, a lie. A lie is not what is not what God. It is what God has not said. That's a lie. Everything that God has not said in your life must go. Yes. Everything. Everything. Mamfundisi, do you know what I am going through? Doesn't matter. It's a lie. And tonight, as we are going to pray, I want you to carry your evidence to any form of court that the enemy may put you in and say, I'm a witness. Jesus saves. Jesus redeems. Here is my evidence. When the enemy says, where is your prosperity? It say, faith now is. The evidence. So my evidence may not be tangible, but my evidence is spiritual. Yes. And everything that is birthed in the spirit will manifest in the flesh. Yes. So if you don't see it today, don't think it's not there. Yes. Carry that evidence with confidence. Yes. And say, the lie stops today. Yes. I'm going to go with the truth. And I'm going to get my story straight. I'm going to be a witness that carries evidence. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a witness as who is going to be found wanting when it's time for the evidence to be produced. We are praying tonight. Just lift up your hands. Shanda yada masika daradabu shababa yala basayam daradabu saya. Begin to pray if you can in the Holy Ghost. If you can in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray if you can in the Holy Ghost. Even in understanding, even in your own language. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. I don't know what is it that the accuser has been accusing you of and you had no evidence. Obtain it tonight.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.